Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This is Mego and Shime on WEEI.
Shime and Mego here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Filling in today on WEEI Afternoons with you until about 6 o'clock this evening. That was Wick Grosbeck right there talking about the eventual sale of the Boston Celtics. Some news came out today, Mego, about the sale of the Celtics, or at least there was news, and
yeah,
then maybe
weird.
There isn't news. NBC reported that Fenway Sports Group was among the 4, maybe 5 bidders for new prospective owners of the Boston Celtics. And then Chris Cotillo came out and said, I'm told Fenway Sports Group not involved.
This is what's so strange to me about this report. And I saw it getting aggregated a lot on social media. And so I tried to find the source of it because we see all these aggregators, which is really helpful to find news as it's breaking. Mm-hmm. But then I'm like, NBC, it's NBC Sports National. So it's not NBC Sports Boston.
Correct.
This isn't coming from Chris Forsberg or anybody connected over there as far as the byline on here. It's NBC Sports National. And the wording that they use is they say, while the bidders are not public, we know that current minority team owner Steve Pagliuca is leading one consortium making a bid. The Fenway Sports Group, which owns the Boston Red Sox of the MLB, the Pittsburgh Penguins of the NFL, and the Liverpool Football Club of the English Premier League, among other sports ventures, is also expected to make a bid. They don't attribute that to anything, but earlier in their write-up of this, they reference an article from Michael Silverman of the Boston Globe, who writes a lot about the business side of sports. Mm-hmm. And so I go to his story, and all he wrote in there that has anything to do with the identities is identities of the control person leading the 3 to 4 other groups remain under wraps. So there's nothing there. Like, there's one line in an NBC report. It's not somebody close to the situation says,
yep,
or a source with the Celtics indicates. There's no attribution, and I found it really strange. So then you have some of the Red Sox reporters like Chris Cotillo of MassLive.
Even Bradford confirmed it.
Rob Bradford just quote tweeted Chris Cotillo, said he's hearing the same thing, that FSG is not involved. And the bidders are going to come to the table on the 23rd, so later this week. I would have a hard time imagining that there's going to be a big pivot unless all the Red Sox reporters are just getting information that's totally wrong.
So I would like to propose a question, because on the Greg Hill show in the mornings, the show, mm-hmm, I'm normally on, Courtney had reported a while ago now that one of the people involved, or at least trying to put together a bid to buy the Celtics, was a group led by Sam Kennedy. Now, is there a way that NBC Sports National saw who was ever on this list of potential bidders, saw Sam Kennedy's name, and is attributing it to FSG when in reality it's some different consortium of actual people? And it's not necessarily technically FSG, but maybe the similar group to the people who invested in the TGL, the new golf league, mm-hmm, where their FSG is involved, but it's not actually FSG. Do you think that's at all possible, or do you think this is just kind of a mess.
I have no idea. This report, it reads to me more like an aggregation of the situation rather than
an actual report,
rather than original reporting that the person whose byline, again, this is from the national website, so I have no idea what their process is or anything, but that there's no attribution in the article is weird. And on the point that you said, It doesn't indicate to me that they saw a list of names. It doesn't look like anyone said, hey, here's the list of names of bidders who are going to come out later this week. It looks like they read something in the Boston Globe from Silverman who says, we know PAGS is in it. We don't really know anybody else. And I don't know where this Red Sox FSG item came from. It's weird. I also think Courtney has said a couple times that she saw the name Sam Kennedy. She didn't see FSG. Is that right?
So Courtney said that from what she was told, the person who did see it, was said that it was Sam Kennedy's name was involved with some group.
So Courtney didn't see it. Somebody told her this was
a report that she had from that she got from a source. And that person told her that they saw Sam Kennedy's name but did not see FSG.
Okay.
And so that's where there was confusion, because even Curtis has brought up, like, no offense to Sam Kennedy, he doesn't have the money to buy the Boston Celtics.
I mean, look, to be totally transparent, they want this sale to be around $6 billion because that's what's good for other owners in the league.
Correct.
So they want it to be as high as possible. I bet on the other hand, they would like to have Steve Pagliuca be the guy who buys it. Pags is going to have an enormous consortium of backers behind him. Mm-hmm. And I, just outside speculating, would think that Pags, a Bain Capital guy, has a lot more money than Sam Kennedy.
Oh, yeah, he has way more money.
And he still needs... The reason that I would guess that they're out there, you know, talking to the Saudi money and backers like that is because they're trying to put together something behind PAGS. And so if it was Sam Kennedy led, he'd have to do something even more enormous than that.
Yeah, I'm curious who the other bidders would be, because it's if you were to go by this, there's at least four, maybe five. And originally, I remember when this first kind of when Wick had first said that he planned on, or his family planned on selling their shares of the team. I want to be clear about that. Not him, his family wanted to sell their shares of the team. That like the Wynn Casino name came up originally. Bezos's name had come up.
Bezos's brother at one point.
Yeah,
was involved.
Like, just weird there. And then of course PAGS. But if there's four or five, there's other names too out there. And so I'm curious who else would even, or who even has interest, if not like FSG, right? It seems odd to me that there's that many names, but we only possibly, maybe only know three of them. And that's if Wynn is actually involved in some capacity and Bezos is actually involved in some capacity.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. And who knows who will come out of the woodwork and be a group, a consortium that's going to put together bids and be one of these four or five bidders. Like, I would have a hard time believing that it's just outside of PAGS, three or four other billionaires.
Yeah.
Like, there's going to be other groups of different people.
Yeah, this
people
isn't
interested.
Elon Musk buying Twitter.
Well, different people try, but who knows if Elon will get into it. I don't know. It seems like he has a busy day today. So maybe he'll be.
Well, so is Bezos. So, I mean,
exactly. These guys are busy. So who knows if either of those names would be in there. I'm not familiar with every billionaire that's around the country. So I don't know who. I'm sure that there's people who are bidding just because they see the portfolio and it's like something.
Well, there can also be non-local guys, right? Like
that's
that,
what I mean.
Like
yeah.
The Harris-led group had the Sixers and they're like, all right, we're going to go down and get the Commanders as well, which technically aren't in the same state or I guess it's in the general same vicinity, but not really. And so like you could absolutely have people that aren't necessarily local coming in and being like, yep, we're getting involved here. Let's go. Or other people that already own sports franchises, not necessarily football or basketball related, but football owners or baseball owners or basketball owners or not basketball owners because it's basketball, but hockey owners, whatever, come in and want to buy. And so that's kind of an opportunity here, too. I don't know where they're getting four or five names, and we haven't heard like any other names. It's really just PAGS.
Really quiet.
It's really just like the PAGS group.
I've been trying to suss out
Yeah,
I've been trying to find
Greg asks you every week when you're when you join us on Wednesday morning. He's like, any news on the Celtics sale front, Mego? What do you got? And you're like, look, it's quiet on the Western front. I got nothing.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising how quiet they've been able to keep it. And I think that's why whenever there's talk of the John Henry FSG side of it, is that it feels like such a natural opportunity that they would at least feel out, that people are looking at it. And then, of course, people go, oh, my God, no, not John Henry, not John Henry scooping up another group. Like, come on, we can't have John Henry involved in the Celtics. I just find this one particular report kind of weird. You know, I don't really know much about Courtney's report, and it sounds like the person who told her that it all was operating in good faith. Maybe it was something that was like a very early thing that they were sussing
out. It was very early on.
But if we're sitting here this week and people from FSG or sources are telling reporters on the Red Sox beat that they are not involved, I just don't think that they're involved. I just don't think they are. I just don't think that it's all of a sudden Thursday is going to... I could be totally wrong. Like, I totally accept.
Yeah.
But if you ask me today, do you think John Henry is involved in buying the Celtics? I'd say no.
I think you're probably right, because I don't know... They wouldn't... I feel like if that report got out there that they were involved in the bidding process, I don't think they would be the ones to shut it down. It would be the Celtics that want to shut it down because they don't want the names to get out of the people bidding. Whereas... if it's the baseball writers that are the ones being like, yeah, FSG's not involved, that seems like it's probably from Henry, and he's like, yeah. Or at least from that group, that camp, that they're not involved.
So the wording that Chris Cotillo used was that it's not on their radar right now. Does that sound like it's a complete denial to you?
No, that sounds like the process is going to take so long that they're not really worried about it right this minute, but that they could get involved later on when things start to heat up.
So this is exactly what Chris Cotillo said. Okay. He said, according to an industry source, FSG is not involved in the bidding for the Celtics. This was always the case, but there appears to have been an aggregation / story out there with bad information this morning. So he's saying it's bad information.
Oh, yeah. So it's not even that it's not on their radar. He's saying that they're not involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I mean, like it.
Sorry. It's not on our radar goes back to September.
Got it.
Like, what month is it? What year is it? Yeah. Goes back to September of 24. Sam Kennedy had said that's not on our radar right now. That was back then. This week, industry source from Chris Cotillo says FSG not involved in bidding for the Celtics.
Interesting. 617-779-7937. Where do you stand on the current bidding for the Boston Celtics? Is there a group in particular that you love? Do we just all hope that Pags takes over the team so that it stays with basically a similar ownership group that it already has? The phone number line is also the text line. We're also live on Twitch and YouTube. twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. You can see my and Mego's beautiful faces. She's wearing her Jaden Daniels jersey today. Very happy about it.
Fifth best quarterback in the league.
There you go. Number five, just like
number
his number.
Five.
There you go. So if you want to join us here on WEEI Afternoons, it is Shime and Mego, but right now David is going to get you caught up on what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Being more healthy, eating better, losing weight. Are you accomplishing your New Year's goal? It's 10 times easier with help. Do what Andy Hart, Rob Bradford, Chris Scheim, and over 23,000 others have done. Find your results at awaken180weightloss.com. The Bruins are in action against the San Jose Sharks at home. The score is currently 3-3. Charlie Coyle actually just tied up the game. The Celtics are getting set to play the Golden State Warriors at 5 p.m. tonight. The Warriors won the last matchup back in November. Draymond Green, Kyle Anderson, and Jonathan Kuminga will not play for the Warriors, and Steph Curry is listed as a game-time decision. Drew Peterson is out for the Celtics with a concussion. All-star outfielder Anthony Santander is switching AL East teams after agreeing to a 5-year contract with the Toronto Blue Jays. ESPN's Jeff Passan reports that the deal is worth more than $90 million. Santander hit 44 home runs with the Orioles last season. The NFL Conference Championship matchups are set. The Buffalo Bills and Kansas City Chiefs collide once again in the AFC Championship game next Sunday. Josh Allen will look to bring the Bills to their first Super Bowl since 1994. The Washington Commanders and the Philadelphia Eagles will face off in the NFC Championship. The teams split their regular season series. The College Football National Championship between Ohio State and Notre Dame kicks off at 7:30 p.m. tonight. You can hear ESPN's Call of the Game right here on WEEI. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. I'm David Azer. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mego and Shine on WEEI.
Shine and Mego here on Boston Sports Original WEEI, filling in this afternoon on WEEI Afternoons until 6 o'clock. That right there was Joe Mazzulla. That's another quote, Mego, for Jones and Keith's Joe Mazzulla. Who said it? Joe Mazzulla or a serial killer? That's another quote they can use. They can take that. Fear? There is no fear.
I like fear.
I like fear. Joe Mazzulla is a crazy man, and I love him. I think he's right in regards to this team, though. Like, I don't think that this team is in any kind of treacherous spot. Like, I don't think they're scared. I think for them, there is no fear here. It's just kind of like an up and down cycle for them right now. They win one, they lose one. It's just kind of every other for a little while here since the new year started. But overall, they're kind of just trying to find their way. Jaylen Brown clearly was dealing with something lately. I mean, even in this last game was 9 of 27.
Him and Jason both.
Yeah.
It was weird. They had exact same shooting percentages. They were both 33% from the floor overall and 22% from three. So it's a tough spot for both of them.
Even Derek White took 16 threes in the game. Like, you know, it's that kind
and
of
And they're trying to get the attempts back up. That's the whole thing.
True.
They got 52 attempts in that game. That's where they want to be. They want to be averaging around 50, 51 attempts.
It's also
every
what
game.
Happens when your two big men don't play.
Yes. So Kristaps Porzingis and Al Horford, because it was the second night of a back-to-back. They were both out. I'll get to more of my Celtics thoughts, but I know you wanted to grab a phone.
Yeah, let's just get Joey in the car real quick here. What's up, Joey?
Actually, the name's Charlie. How you doing?
Oh,
hey,
good. What's
Charlie.
Up, Charlie?
So, over and over again, you have been talking about Jaden Daniels having the greatest rookie season ever for a quarterback.
Yep.
Not even close. You forgot Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner had 41 touchdowns in his first year. He had 4,300 yards. Jaden Daniels had 25 touchdowns and 800 less.
So
Jaden Daniels is an amazing quarterback, but he's not even close.
Charlie,
the year he had isn't even close to what Kurt Warner did.
Charlie, I would urge you to go check your Kurt Warner stats, because that was not Kurt Warner's rookie year. That was his second year in the league. In Kurt Warner's rookie year,
yeah, the first year I saw his stats. The first year he only played. It was like it wasn't even a. I wouldn't even register in terms of stats. I mean, it was only like a few games.
Yeah, but that was his rookie
year. The first year he had was the greatest year of the history of a quarterback, and you know that.
No, it's not, because the greatest first year ever by a starting quarterback would have been Patrick Mahomes. His first year, he threw 50 touchdowns and over 5,000 yards. The first year he was a starter, just like Kurt Warner. The first year he was a starter in 1999, thank you for the call, was a great year. It was a good year. The same thing, we had this issue on Saturday when Mego and I were on. People were saying that Dan Marino had the greatest rookie quarterback season of all time. Nope. Correction. He was 7-2 his rookie year, did not go to the Super Bowl his rookie year, went to the Super Bowl his first full year as a starter. Kurt Warner, Patrick Mahomes, Dan Marino, all really good in their first years as a starter. I'm talking about specifically your very first year in the NFL, your very first year in the league. Jaden Daniels has had the greatest rookie season in NFL history.
What's funny about that is these references to Marino, to Warner. Mm. Sometimes people even get confused enough to say Brady. If they're like outside of this market, they'll even talk about Brady's rookie year. And it's like, no. If anything, that's more of the argument that people love to glom onto about not playing a young quarterback in their first year.
Exactly.
Like basically just throwing them in to cleanup duty or at the very, very end of the year for their development and keeping them learning behind the scenes. And that's absolutely the opposite of what Washington did with Jaden Daniels.
They threw Jaden Daniels right into the fire.
Right. And so you're actually, I think, looking at completely different sides of the coin.
Yes, exactly. So I just wanted to clear that up. Thank you for the call, Charlie.
You just wanted to show how right you were?
No. Not how right I was, but I just wanted to clear out. Yeah, there was some confusion because there was some on Saturday with the Marino thing. There's some now with Charlie and Kurt Warner, even though Kurt Warner didn't even start a single game his rookie year. I just wanted to make sure it was clear. Jaden Daniels, greatest rookie season in NFL history. There. It is what it is. It is cemented. It
Hold
is done.
On. So now we're going, you're saying he has the greatest rookie season in NFL history and that he's a top five quarterback.
Yeah.
I'm so uncomfortable with this amount of love and adoration for someone on one of my teams.
Okay, then let's pivot into the Celtics, where I know you're a little bit more comfortable ripping them because
or willing things, of criticism.
Yes, exactly, because things haven't gone as well as they as for the Commanders.
Well, okay, so we talked over the weekend for anybody who missed. Don't be missing those Saturday shows because there's a lot of good content there. But they had a great win over the Magic. That is a top four, maybe top three defensive team at this point. I haven't checked their rating over the last week, to be completely honest. Mm-hmm. But that's a team that they lost to right before Christmas Eve in a 108-104 battle. And they didn't have Paolo Banchero at that point, who's their double-double machine, their big star from Duke. And so now you get them on the second part of a back-to-back. Kristaps Porzingis isn't playing. Al Horford isn't playing. They're playing the Atlanta Hawks, who are a feisty, scrappy team, have taken down the Cavs twice. So just to let you know, like if you're not following the NBA day to day, they'll take down a big dog. Like Atlanta and the Magic have that in common. There's these teams out there who are scrappy enough that they look at it and they have the bullseye on you when you're one of these big teams like the Celtics. And I just kind of felt like they were walking into that game knowing that on Saturday. What is disappointing about it is the Jrue Holiday of what happened.
Continues to struggle.
The Jrue Holiday of what happened. Jrue Holiday's shooting numbers, especially from three, are way down from where they were last year. But you have Jrue Holiday and a guy like Jrue Holiday on the team because he's a field marshal.
Mm-hmm.
He's a veteran. He's somebody who sees the court, has excellent vision, excellent perimeter defender, and he does the right thing. He makes the right decisions. So you can throw other guys out there around him, and he's the steady presence. He's the steady vet. It's like him and Al Horford wasn't in that game. So what happens in that, they lose in overtime to Atlanta. What happens is with 13 seconds left, Tatum passes to Jrue Holiday. He coughs it up out of bounds. And it's like, okay, well, that's weird. That's unfortunate. That's not like Jrue Holiday, but stuff happens.
Yep.
Trying to catch myself because I'm not trying to swear on
good
two
job.
To six.
Yep, please don't.
So then they swing it We're back to the other today. End, and Jrue Holiday unintentionally fouls the one guy that you can't foul on the Hawks, Trae Young. He unintentionally fouled Trae Young. He came out after the game and said that foul was not intentional. It wasn't something that they were trying to do to manage the clock in the last 3 seconds of the game. He throws Trae Young on the line, and Trae Young ties the game up and sends you into overtime. Now you got guys who are on the second half of a back-to-back without two bigs, and you have Luke Kornet as a starter out there, tired legs, and you lose the game. And it's like the least surprising at that point. When you lost it in regulation, it was like, okay, here we go. But I do have to look at it and go, are these guys completely locked in? Because mistakes like that from Jrue Holiday, it's one thing to go, these guys are in a shooting slump and they're trying to get the attempts back up and do the Missoula ball from 3-point line and people get disgusted and annoyed with that. But what are these doldrums in January? And it's Jrue Holiday, and you see it from Jaylen Brown too. I think Derek White at times has crisis of confidence. And the rest of it, it's like, thank God for Peyton Pritchard, who goes 4 of 8 from the three.
Yeah.
You can't be depending on Peyton Pritchard night in and night out. And now you get texts like people on our lovely text line, 617-779-7937, if you want to chime in, who are saying Pritchard needs to go in for Jrue Holiday.
Well,
we're not there yet, but I would like to know what's going on with some of the guys on this team and the approach of a second night of a back-to-back or guys being in and out of the lineup.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about this on Saturday. I just think some of these guys need rest. Like this is the time of the season where resting is okay. It's good. You're still pre-All-Star break. You still have plenty of time left in the season. You're 29-13, so you're not floundering. You're not fighting for a playoff spot.
No, absolutely not.
And one of the guys who doesn't need a rest, by the way, is Jason Tatum. So, like, you're still going to be in every single game going forward. But I think it's imperative that you start really considering resting Jrue Holiday for a week, resting Jaylen Brown for a few games, and really giving these guys time to kind of catch up on their health. I think a lot of the reason that they're probably in a rut is because they're dealing with lingering injuries.
Jaylen seems like it.
Yeah.
Jaylen totally seems like it.
And we know Drew's been dealing with nagging injuries a lot this year.
Drew's also dealing with this thing called being in your mid-30s.
Yeah,
And I feel that.
Yeah, I do too. And so it's
old for the basketball court, not old for the earth.
Correct. And so it's... And I know Joe Mazzulla is excited about, you know, the fear seeping into to Celtics fans because they don't feel fear.
Yeah, you know why? Because he wants them to have urgency.
Yeah, he wants them to face adversity. He doesn't want it to be easy. And I get that, and that's a good thing. But at the same time, you also need to consider the overall health of your players. I think that's a really important part of coaching is you have to manage each player individually because each one is different. Jason Tatum is a workhorse. This guy is going to go out. He's going to play 75 of the 82 games in a season, maybe more, and he's going to give it his all every single night, and he's healthy, and he's young, and he's active. He's fine. But a guy like Jrue Holiday, you might need to load management. Just like kind of what you're doing with Porzingis, you need to load manage Jrue a little bit more. And I think the benefit of having Pritchard on the bench allows you to do that in the regular season so that come playoff time, Drew's ready to go.
It's interesting because you do see these guys move into these different roles where Tatum always has an extremely high usage rate and he's always playing some of the top minutes of the overall league. Like he
wants to play every game.
He plays a lot, and total credit to him. You have these roles of these other guys on the team. It used to be Derek White. Derek White would play every night, no matter what.
Yeah.
Do you remember there was one game where Derek White had like a serious ear injury, and he had to fly back, and then he on his own because he had to see a doctor locally. I can't remember exactly where it was. If it was Indiana, it was somewhere in the Midwest, if I'm correct. And then he had to fly back and then he played the next night. Yeah. It's like, my guy cannot get a night off, Derek White. I guess maybe they need to move Peyton Pritchard into that role to alleviate some of Jrue Holiday's workload because it's clear that something's not adding up there right now. I just think that it's a tough push and pull when then you're looking at a team who has to have their consistency, their rhythm together down the stretch when they get into the playoffs, because you don't want to be learning anything about yourselves as a team in the playoffs other than, you know, the insurmountable or the how you get over what the seemingly insurmountable mental game and all that stuff.
Yeah, so a texter wants to know, 781 texter, do you feel like they're just going through the motions knowing the season doesn't start until the playoffs actually starts?
I think there's probably a little bit of that. I mean, I don't think that...
It doesn't feel like
that,
though,
right? Well, I don't think intentionally. I don't think they're intentionally looking at it and saying, who cares about January basketball? Who cares about December basketball? I do think that a night like tonight, they're going to get up for it. They're playing Golden State at 5 o'clock. It's MLK Day. They know it's a big spot. It's going to be on TNT. I bet everybody will be healthy. Do they have the availabilities out, the lineups out?
I haven't seen it yet, no.
I'll check during the break. But I would guess that everybody's going to be in for that game. And everybody's going to want to play. And you, like, pick these spots in the regular season. I think what's frustrating is the Hawks game was a game that they could have won, but it's the second night of a back-to-back, and two of their rotation are out, including one starter, and it just feels like it's kind of like, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's there. Yeah, I don't think when I watch the Celtics game, it doesn't feel like they're going through the motions at all. It feels more just like fatigue, and they're trying to figure some things out, and Joe Mazzulla is really pushing them to figure it out, and they're just having trouble. But, Mego, there's some breaking news. Would you like some breaking news?
Uh-oh. I'm scared.
According to Adam Schefter, the Chicago Bears are finalizing a deal to hire Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson as their next head coach.
Wow.
So Ben Johnson is, in fact, going to be the next head coach of the Chicago Bears, according to Adam Schefter.
What do you think about that for your guy, whose name you don't even utter anymore now that Mike Vrabel's in town?
No, I still utter Ben Johnson's name. I'll be honest. I'm surprised. I didn't think he'd take the Bears job.
Why?
I thought
did you think he was going to?
I thought he was going to end up in like Vegas with Tom Brady. I thought Brady was going to pitch him, but clearly the quarterback matters more to him than Tom Brady, and so he wants to coach Caleb Williams and that offense. And I get it. There's a lot of weapons there. When the season was first kind of winding down, I thought the Bears job was probably the most desirable for him outside
of
the New England Patriots.
You still think that it's the best job that's left?
I don't know. I guess for me, I don't trust Ryan Poles. He's been there too long, and things haven't gone well enough. And this is now, what, like the third or fourth coach he's picked. And so I don't necessarily trust Ryan Poles as a GM. And I think for me, that was like the big thing. There is a lot of talent on this Bears team. Don't get me wrong. Like Caleb Williams, I think will have a turnaround year, especially with a guy like Ben Johnson.
Everybody was saying Caleb Williams is walking into the best situation. Caleb Williams could make the Bears a playoff team.
Guess not. That was Jaden Daniels.
They were saying that about – nobody was saying that about Jaden Daniels in
been.
Washington.
Clearly, they
nobody was saying
no, you're
that.
Right. Nobody.
The conversation was more who's going to finish last. Is it going to be Washington or is it going to be the Giants in that division?
That's true. Well, no, the Giants were going to finish last no matter what. But even still, regardless, I guess you're right. Like it came down to the quarterback ultimately for Ben Johnson. The Raiders don't have one. They're not necessarily in the best position to get one. The Jaguars are kind of a mess. Trevor Lawrence. Some people think he's good. Some people think he stinks. It's kind of on the fence. But whereas, you know, Caleb Williams is going to be in his second year. Like, this is a guy who is uber talented in college, has all of the ability, and now it's just time for somebody to put it together. And Ben Johnson is probably capable of doing that.
There's a theory about the Celtics, which is unkind. Oh. It's an unkind theory.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to read that? The Celtics are distracted by Mego's giant teeth in the stands.
That's mean. You're
First
not even
of all,
at every
I
game.
I sit in the press box, so I'm not in the stands. I don't think that they're seeing me up there. It's pretty high up.
And I hate to give credence to any texter that texts something so mean. But then again, you were at every New England Patriots home game, and they struggled mightily as well.
Are you saying that the lights are bouncing off my front teeth?
Maybe it's not your teeth.
Large.
Maybe it's not your teeth, but maybe you're just a jinx.
Listen, I say it all the time. Like, people talk about how big my teeth are. Hollywood pays for teeth like
That's
this,
true.
Okay? They
big
try
smiles.
To get those big chompers like Ben Affleck had to pay for them.
Mm-hmm.
You see Ben Affleck's teeth in Good Will Hunting?
Not the same.
It's not the same
Paid
teeth.
For those veneers,
okay?
Baby. Right out of his own pocket.
I'm not ashamed of my big teeth.
Hey,
these
good
big
for you.
Teeth get me on TV. How about that?
There you go. You crush.
Yeah.
You're doing great.
Wait,
no,
like,
I'm just...
They'd rather have me have like little tiny teeth? I don't think so.
Little baby teeth? No, I know that's why I'm saying. Like, I don't know if it's necessarily your teeth that are creating the issue, but
by
maybe
the way,
you're just
I think
a jinx.
I broke part of the desk over here.
Oh, what did you
I've
do?
Been like messing around kicking something because I'm basically like a 6-year-old with ADHD.
Yeah.
And something just fell off. So
it's
if the
Mountain
engineer
Dew.
Comes in and checks, it's not me.
Okay. All right. 617-779-7937. If you want to weigh in on the Boston Celtics, you can weigh in on Ben Johnson getting hired by the Chicago Bears as well. We talked a lot about the NFL divisional round, how good the games were. Jaden Daniels, top five quarterback in the NFL. We've hit on all of it. You're welcome to weigh in on any of it. But coming up next, I want to talk to Mego about the national championship game tonight. She's a Notre Dame fan, so I'm curious to get her perspective on this one. It's Shime and Mego filling in on WEEI Afternoons.
You're listening to Mego and Shime on WEEI.
Shime and Mego here on Boston Sports Original WEEI, filling in on WEEI Afternoons ahead of the brand new show that launches tomorrow, hosted by Fitzy Hart and Ted Johnson. That'll be a good crew. Excited to hear them tomorrow. They'll be on for the first time together at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, taking you up until 6 o'clock today. Mego, tonight, though, big game, 7:30 kickoff. Ohio State Buckeyes, Notre Dame Fighting Irish for the national championship in college football. Crazy enough, 7 and 8 seeds in the college football playoff, which I think are great. I think that's great for the sport that it's not just, you know, your top two seeds and, oh boy, here we go. You know, these guys had to fight through a lot of good football teams. Ohio State currently a 9-point favorite tonight over the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I know you are a Notre Dame fan. Are you kind of where you're at with them, just how you are with the Commanders, or are you much more hungry for a win, seeing as Notre Dame has not really won much of anything ever?
My feeling with this is that I think it will take a miracle for Notre Dame to beat Ohio State tonight. And I really hope my family's not listening, because they always accuse me of, like, not really being a Notre Dame fan anymore.
Being a fake fan.
Because whenever they ask me stuff, I'm like, well, I don't think they're that good. And then they get really mad at me, so I just stop commenting on it. But since I'm pretty sure they're not listening, because they're all having a Notre Dame party in D.C. tonight.
Nice.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a near miracle for Notre Dame, just because they don't have the passing game.
Yeah.
Like, their defense can be stout, but they're playing a guy who's a redshirt senior who at left tackle who's starting for the first time. Like, that's not a good place to be in for your passing game. And I like Riley Leonard. I don't think he totally lived up to the billing hype when he got here. Yeah, to the hype. So I like it. I don't think they're going to win. And even if they do win, if Notre Dame wins tonight, people are going to use it as an indictment against the playoff bracket.
Like, which is dumb.
They're going to use it as an indictment of, oh, look, the best team didn't actually win.
If Notre Dame,
the old way that we used to do the national championship game is better than the new playoff way.
I couldn't disagree with that theory more.
That's how people are going to talk about it.
But they beat Georgia.
I know.
They beat nobody's. They beat Indiana, who, okay, I'll give you credit. Maybe Indiana was a little overrated. Fine.
Was terrible.
Yeah.
Indiana should not have been in there.
Sure.
That's the biggest key. People are going to go, they beat Indiana. They only had to be one real team to get there.
They beat Georgia and Penn State. Both of those teams are really good football teams. Penn State lost by like 3 to, what was it, Ohio State and Oregon. They barely lost to. Like, those, Penn State was a really good football team. They beat Georgia, beat Penn State. And if they beat Ohio State, who has been playing better than anybody else in the country up to this point, like, you can't just discredit the playoff just because you don't like the outcome.
I think that's what people are dying to do, though, because people are already pissed off at the bracket, and they're pissed off at the teams that got that got byes, like Boise State. Like, they're really mad at that. And I think a lot of people wanted to see
Boise
Texas
State wasn't
go,
a bad football
go
team,
all
though,
the like, way. I'm saying, like, I think no matter what, the way that the college football playoffs turn out from when they moved away from the complete bowl setup to starting to have the playoffs and then expanding them, everybody gets really mad at their teams being excluded and the teams that make it in. And I'm just telling you, I don't think Notre Dame's going to win,
but
if
they do
win, everybody is going to come out the net
is
tomorrow
Is it everybody
morning.
Or is it just the SEC hardos? Because it seems to me like it would be the SEC hardos.
You don't think the Buckeyes fans will come out?
I think they'd be upset about it,
Notre
but they were
Dame
in the national championship game.
Supposed to be in there anyway. Notre Dame was just a fraud team, wasn't supposed to be in the championship anyway.
If you're Ohio State and you come out tomorrow and criticize the college football playoff bracket and you're not doing it before the game even starts, you're a fraud and a loser.
It's Kat Jones's wife, because she's a big Oregon fan. She's going to come out and be like, Oregon got screwed.
So, to be fair,
Oregon got screwed having to see Ohio State. And then you'll say, well, Notre Dame was able to beat Ohio State. So.
Yeah, I think if she says that, like, I understand why Oregon fans are upset. Because they get the first round bye, but then they have to play Ohio State in the second round. You need to tweak the college football playoff, but like you can't entirely discredit it.
How do we tweak it?
I think you have to either get rid of the byes or you have to reseed every round. So, like, that Oregon gets to face the lowest possible seed. Granted, it still would have been Ohio State, so it wouldn't really matter. But, like, I think that's kind of how you're going to have to do it, is you need to expand it a little bit more and either take away the byes or, like, reseed each round.
Do you think I'm being too strong on a miracle for Notre Dame to win? Who do you think will actually have a shot here?
So I think Marcus Freeman is a really good football coach, which gives Notre Dame a shot.
I agree. I love the guy.
Yeah.
I'm also glad, on side note, since we had Ben Johnson breaking news being the head coach of the Bears, I'm glad Marcus Freeman didn't take that job. I think he should stay.
He's going to stay at Notre Dame. I have a feeling he's going to be like a Notre Dame lifer kind of guy.
I don't even mean like from a fan perspective.
Yeah.
I just, you have a great thing going at Notre Dame. Don't go to the Bears who...
are a mess.
Sorry. Like, I know it's a desirable coaching position right now, and you want to be a head coach in the NFL.
He's also not like an offensive guru either.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how much he would have helped Caleb Williams in that regard.
I just wouldn't have loved him walking into that situation.
But I think tonight, like, he could have the coaching advantage over Ryan Day. Ryan Day has choked in some big spots before. That has absolutely happened. I think the big difference right now for me is Will Howard versus Riley Leonard. Like, that's the clear-cut difference for me, and Howard's just been better. He's been good for Ohio State, and so... I feel like I'm gonna lay the points with Ohio State, but I would be more than happy to see Notre Dame win. And I think the only way they can win is if they win the turnover battle and they possess the crap out of the football. Like, they have to hold the ball for, you know, 7-8 minutes at a time. Long sustained drives, a lot of running the football, a lot of first downs, a lot of fourth down, they go for it, get the first, like that type of deal.
Yeah, they basically have to play like Bill Belichick style, ideal football.
Keep Ohio State offense off the field, and you have a shot.
But isn't that what we always say about teams who aren't as good as the other team?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like,
but that's the beauty of football is they absolutely
have the
chance.
Command the clock in the situation, and keep the other team's explosive offense off the field. Like, that's what we say about every bad team going up against a better team. Notre Dame's a bad team, but I'm saying the less talented.
And to be completely fair, we said that about the Commanders, and the Commanders ended up coming out and scoring 45 points. They didn't do that.
Yeah, but the Commanders
instead,
have
the complete
a quarterback
opposite.
Who we have already determined is top five quarterback in today's NFL.
You're right, and that's fair.
And that's not Riley Leonard in NCAA.
No, Riley Leonard would have to have like the game of his life, I think, for Notre Dame to be in it. That's kind of where I'm at. Or Notre Dame has to run the crap out. Notre Dame either has to run for 250 yards, or Riley Leonard has to play out of his mind in order to win this football game.
So a miracle.
Yeah.
We're looking for touchdown.
I guess Ohio State could just melt. Like, that's a real possibility, right? You kind of like what the Ravens did. In that first half, they just turnover, get a little bit of a lead here, 2-3 score lead, and then it's like, okay, just hold on to the lead. Don't turn the football over. Don't be stupid. Have a couple defensive stands, and boom, you win the football game.
Can I ask you something as someone who's like very much in the gambling world?
Oh, please. I'd be happy.
Do you think that the college football championship has gained or lost juice by being in this playoff format? Because I feel like the first two rounds of the playoffs, even though the games were bad, people were super... locked in. It was over the holidays. We had that weird holiday stretch where it was Christmas on Wednesday and New Year's Day on Wednesday. And I felt that people were watching a lot of these college football games, talking about how bad they were, but they got a lot of traction. And now that we're in NFL playoffs and we just came out of an awesome divisional round and you have the college football championship tonight, it almost feels like a, oh yeah, like that's happening tonight.
I think.
Doesn't it feel like it's a little bit on the back burner?
Anticlimactic? Yeah, on the back burner. Yes, I do, but I don't think it's the playoff bracket's fault. I think it's just a timing issue in that, like, we haven't seen college football in almost 2 weeks now. That has been kind of an issue. So it's in the back of your mind. It's not really forefront. I think you need to capitalize more on the playoffs, and you can't have this much time off in between that last playoff game and this game. Like, it needed to kind of be more consecutive. I think the playoff needed to start earlier as well. Like, you need to just do away with conference championship week. And
especially since the conferences are collapsing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you need to just completely do away with that, and that's when you start the college football playoff that week, and then you're kind of done a little bit earlier so that you're not lined up with the best weekend in NFL football. And as much as I'm going to watch the national championship game tonight, you're right. It is kind of on the back burner, especially after what we just watched this weekend.
It kind of feels like, you know, have you ever been to a friend's wedding where... you go out the night before, like after the rehearsal dinner, and it's like everyone's so excited to see one another
yep.
that everybody gets after it. and it's a super fun night.
Yeah.
And then the day of the actual wedding, people are hungover they're kind of just sipping,
figuring it out,
sipping wine at the cocktail hour because they're not feeling great from the night before.
Oh, yeah.
That's how the college football championship, national championship feels.
Yeah, everybody's drunk on NFL football divisional weekend.
Exactly.
It is the best weekend of football
every year. We just watched Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, and this is just not going to live up to that.
Whereas if this national championship game was after wild card weekend where we saw a bunch of blowouts in the NFL, everybody would be like, all right, give me a great national championship game. Let's
go. You're right. I think I'm also just not used to the calendar.
Yeah, I think that's definitely part of it. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in on the national championship game tonight. But, Mego, let's get into some Patriots talk here. We haven't talked about the Patriots enough. They're our team in town. They're still trying to fill out a coaching staff. We will get to Mike Vrabel filling out his coaching staff coming up next year on Boston Sports Original WEEI.